Hey, good morning to all of you that are out there watching us online. We love you, appreciate you, we miss you. If you're traveling or if you're homesick, hope you get better. Be safe out there. For you that are just watching us and you don't have a home church, thank you for joining in with us, near or far. Love for you to be near and come and be with us. But if you can't, we understand. That's why we provide these live videoing of the service. So we miss you today and just pray God bless you. And we're fixing to get started today in the Word. And yes, it is March the 10th. I hope all of you remember to move your clocks ahead an hour. And it does make a difference. And it's, you know, it's a little darker in the morning, but I love the long days. I love the sunshine longer than the afternoons. And I don't know about you, but I done mowed my yard twice. I mowed it yesterday, pulled weeds as well, because I don't know where these weeds come from. I thought when they build houses, they're supposed to get rid of all the weeds. But nonetheless, we have weeds in our yard, and I tell you what, it was a pretty big ordeal yesterday pulling weeds out of the yard. And I'll be honest with you, I took some ibuprofen last night, and I took some this morning on the way to church before I came to church, because my back was hurting me a little bit today. Not so much from the mowing, but from the weeding. As I was bending over, pulling out those big old dandelion weeds, you know what I'm talking about if you have any of those. But hey, thank you today. We're getting started today. And we started a series last week titled Faith. Faith. Amen. Aren't you glad that we have the opportunity to believe in something bigger than we are? Yeah. Amen. That's faith. Amen. And we talked a little bit about four types of faith. And today we're going to be looking at part number two today. But look what Edwin Lewis Cole said. He said, have faith in God. God has faith in you. Amen. Did you know that God probably believes in you more than you believe in yourself? Amen. But we can have faith in a God who believes in us. So I just want to encourage you today to have faith in God. Trust God. Amen. You can ask God for things. And if it's in God's will, amen, He'll do that for you. Because the Bible says we ask, we'll receive it. Amen. And we just thank the Lord for the opportunity to believe in Him. And I'm so thankful for God's favor and His faithfulness to us as His people and His church. But let's look today, four types of faith. Last week we talked about dead faith. Today we're going to talk about little faith. Amen. Anybody have any little faith here today? Amen. I hope you have some little faith today. But I want to talk to you a little bit today, and I want to read this story here that goes with this picture today about the disciples in a boat on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of a storm. Amen. Took a little bit of faith right there just to survive the storm. But Jesus makes this comment to them here in just a minute when we get into this story. According to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? In other words, faith is critical to your walk with God. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to live for God, amen, whatever you're going to do for God, you've got to have faith in God. Faith is critical to your walk with God because without it, the Bible says, even in Hebrews 11, there is no possibility of pleasing Him in any way. The Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek Him. Yet what we see throughout the Gospels is Jesus commenting over and over again on people's faith. And one of those instances is found in Matthew's Gospel chapter 8. And we're going to read those in just a minute. Where He challenges His disciples with, oh, you of little faith. I guess if I would want to hear anything from Jesus, that would probably not be what I would want to hear. Oh, you of little faith. Amen. I hope the Lord appreciates the faith I have. And I know I don't have enough faith. You know, I think we ought to all pray, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, give me more faith. And we'll look at that here in the next week or two. But what does, oh, you of little faith mean? That's an interesting question. What does, oh, you of little faith mean? Simply put, one writer says it means that at this moment in time, your faith has been tested and you have come up short. Oh, you of short faith, maybe we could say, right? Of little faith. Maybe we should say, ouch. Because that must have been devastating news for the disciples to hear from Jesus. Oh, you of little faith. Or maybe we can put it in a question mark, not that Jesus did, but where is your faith? Where is your little faith? You know, if we just had little faith, the Bible says, as a mustard seed, right? We can say to this mountain, be ye removed and cast in the yonder place, and it would be done for us. Amen. You know, if we just have a little faith can be a powerful faith. Did you know that? Little faith can move mountains. Little faith can cross ocean depths. Little faith can get you through a storm. Yes. But Jesus even questioned them, "Oh, where is your little faith? Oh, you of little faith." Can we read these scriptures today, if you don't mind? Follow along with me in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, New Living Translation. The Bible says that Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake, with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." You know, first of all, I find it interesting that Jesus was sleeping. I thought he wasn't human. Well, he was, wasn't he? He wasn't just the Son of God. He was the Son of Man. His humanity, we see his humanity shining through in certain instances. And you know, as tough as his life was, you know, the demand of people upon him at this time in ministry to have him pray for them, to teach them, to speak over them, you know, he had to find any moment he could to get a little wink eye nap. And I just find it interesting that this moment where Jesus takes a nap is in the middle of a storm. Jesus responded in verse 26 when they asked him, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He said, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up, he rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." Isn't it wonderful that Jesus didn't get up and rebuke the wind and the waves first? First of all, he spoke to the disciples' faith. He spoke to their needs because the wind and the waves wasn't anything for him. Probably the faith of the disciples were much more of a challenge. Come on, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, we're more of a challenge to God than anything, aren't we? How many times do we put God to a test? How many times do we test God in our walk and in our faith and just say, "Well, Lord, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. Or I won't believe unless I see you do this first." So we have this moment when the disciples and Jesus are in this boat crossing the Sea of Galilee. And it's known for just all of a sudden storms coming to the front. And just this one had to be a terrible storm because I believe probably the wind and the waves were not only beating against the boat, but I believe the waves were coming into the boat. And they were fearful of their lives. He said, "You have so little faith." Maybe for us this morning to understand this statement completely, maybe we need to put this full scenario in context for just a minute. If you went back and read the verses prior to this one, chapter 5, 6, and even 7, you'd notice that Jesus had just recently finished preaching what? The great Sermon on the Mount. Immediately after coming down from the mountainside, the disciples witnessed Jesus perform many, many miracles. He had healed a man with leprosy. He healed a centurion's servant just by speaking the word. He touched Peter's mother-in-law who was sick and ill with fever, and the fever left her. That same evening, he went out and healed people who were demon-possessed and all sick people who were brought to him. And then after this, he told his disciples, "Let's go on the other side of the lake." So if you put this in perspective, the disciples should have had a greater faith. Because think of all the things that they had heard and seen. Think of everything they had just witnessed Jesus do, not only on the mountain, but after he came down and touched people. And you know, Peter himself personally, his mother-in-law, healed of a high fever. And then the people they saw delivered and all the things that took place. You know, you would think their faith would have been greater than what it was. You know, you think sometimes church people's faith would be greater than what it is. Can I just bring that home this morning for us? Maybe it's for somebody watching today. I don't know. But, you know, you think that sometimes even a pastor's faith would be greater than what it is. Of all we've seen Jesus do, of all that we've watched him speak into people's lives, you think we'd be encouraged. You know, every word that God has given us for our church, you think that would increase our faith. But then we find ourselves in a moment when we get an email we don't like, or we get a response we don't like, or we get a rejection in an area we don't like, that our faith kind of dwindles, and we find the human side of us coming to the forefront again, and we're fearful, we're afraid, and we begin to doubt. But friends, God will never leave us, not even in the midst of a storm, will he? He is faithful. Can I tell you what little faith is not? Little faith is not dead faith. Little faith is not dead. There is faith. Maybe for some it's just a glimmer of faith. It's just a light of faith peering through the doorway or a crack of a door into your heart, the doorway of your heart. But it's not dead faith. I mean, remember the Bible says that faith without works is dead. We talked about this last week a lot about dead faith. Little faith, actually, I believe, is not a dead faith, an empty faith. It's not a useless faith, and it's not an actionless faith. I believe there are actions to our faith, friends. You know, if you think about it for just a minute, the disciples, you know, maybe their faith was small at this moment, and maybe it wasn't even enough to even have faith that the boat wasn't going to capsize and that they weren't going to drown because the Son of God was in the boat. But if you think about it, they had enough faith to follow Jesus, right? I mean, think about it. They had given everything up to follow him. They had trusted Jesus enough to leave behind their former jobs and security. They had seen his miracles, believed his teachings, and even at this moment they had enough faith to get into the boat. Not knowing for sure what tomorrow would hold. Not knowing for sure what the next hour would hold. You know, but they had enough faith to trust him to obey his words. You know, sometimes, friends, we don't have to have all the answers, do we? We don't have to know all the answers to the questions that are posed to us in life. We don't have to know all the direction that God is leading us in. We don't have to know what obstacles we're going to face. All we've got to do is have enough faith to follow him. When Jesus says move, we move. If he says jump, we jump, right? If he says wait and be silent, we wait and we're silent. But there's faith in that, friends. Even if there is a little doubt, there's still faith. Can you doubt and have faith at the same time? I know that's a difficult question maybe for you to answer because the Bible says we shouldn't be unstable in all of our ways. We shouldn't believe God and doubt in God. But if we'll be honest, that most of us at times when we, you know, even while we have a little faith, we still have a doubter's faith. You know, I believe Thomas is a great example of that because I believe Thomas, he believed in Jesus. He believed in everything he saw. But he said, yes, I see, unless I see the nail prints in his hands. And unless I stick my hand in his side, I'll not believe. And I just think that was kind of a doubter's faith in the moment of sorrow. You know, sometimes when we're hurting, I think sometimes when you're going through a storm and when you're in a difficult situation, there is that moment of doubt that challenges what little faith you have. Well, little faith is not dead. It's not empty. It's not useless. It's not actionless. I believe God wants to grow whatever faith you have. God wants to grow your little faith into more faith. He wants to increase your faith. Matter of fact, he wants you to have great faith. We'll look at some of these here in the next meeting. Maybe we can say it like this. Little faith is limited faith. It is lacking faith because it could be more, right? It's limited. Maybe it's a insufficient faith, right? Insufficient. I mean, if they'd have had more faith, maybe they would have stood firm in the middle of the storm. Maybe they wouldn't have had to wake Jesus from a nap. He could have got a little more shut-eye that night. Maybe they could have trusted that if the boat did fall over, that they weren't going to drown because the Son of God, who would later come to Peter and to them walking on the water. You know, the Greek meant, the fact the Greek understanding of little faith is actually all one word. It's not just little in the Greek or faith in the Greek, but it's of little faith. It's kind of a conglomeration of words, and it's oligopistos. And I hope I said that right. Oligopistos. And it means to trust too little, to lack confidence. In other words, you could trust more. You maybe your faith is insufficient. It's not enough faith. If you had more faith, if you had just a little bit more faith, then maybe you can walk through this situation in your storm. It doesn't mean you don't have faith. You're just not trusting him enough. Can I be honest with you? Sometimes God challenges our faith to believe more. And it's not that we don't believe God, but you know, friends, if God's going to grow you in a relationship with him, he's going to test your faith to see if you can believe more than even just a little faith. But little faith is, it's limited. It's a limited faith. I mean, the whole idea with Jesus and his disciples is that he wanted them to grow into greater faith. He was trying to teach them. He knew. Don't you think he knew a storm was going to come up on the lake? I believe he did. He knew the reaction to the disciples. I think maybe, you know, deep inside, like all of us, he was hoping for a greater response from them. But yet, when they woke him up, he didn't go immediately to the wind and the waves, but he stopped and he spoke to their faith. He spoke to their relationship. So a little faith is a limited faith, I see. I see it as a lacking faith. I see it as an insufficient faith. That means it's not, doesn't mean it doesn't have faith. That just means it could be better. It could be more. But here's some things I see that little faith leads you. Some things that little faith leaves you. And number one, little faith will leave you anxious. Did you know that? Little faith will leave you anxious. In other words, little faith will leave you worried and tense, troubled and distressed. How do you feel when you feel like that things are out of control? When you feel like you don't have a hand on something and you don't have enough faith to believe God for the answer to that. Or maybe you believe, but you just don't believe enough. And what do you get? You get tense, right? You get worried. You get troubled and distressed. There's a great story in Matthew 6, another story where Jesus talks about little faith. Look what he says, and this is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than the food and your body more than clothing? He said, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father, what feeds them? And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Verse 27, look what he says. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildfires that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he certainly care for you? Why do you have so little faith? And then what does he say? So don't worry. King James Version says, take no thought. The ESV, the English Standard Version says, do not be anxious about these things. Saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. So do what? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And he will give you what? Everything you need. He didn't say everything you want, but he said he will give you everything you need. But what is he speaking to? He's speaking to their faith. Believe. Don't be anxious. Amen. Don't worry if things aren't going your way, if you're not receiving what you feel like you need, or if you don't have enough of this or enough of that. Friends, God will supply our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He will if we will what? If we will have little faith. But a little faith sometimes can be anxious faith, because we can't determine. We don't sometimes see all the things that God is doing to supply our needs. It would be nice if we did, wouldn't it? It would be nice if God wrote us a letter. Well, this is how I'm going to supply your needs today. I'll send you an email and a text message. I'll post it on Instagram. Hey, this is what I'm going to do for Pastor Keith today. You might not want to see the rest of that letter either, right? This is what I'm not going to do for him today. But he wants to challenge and grow our faith. It'd be nice to know those things, but yet God's trying to teach us patience as well as anything. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't get stressed out. Come on, nobody in here is stressed out, right? Except me. Don't get distressed. Don't be troubled. Don't be worried. Because God is still good. And he's still in control, friends, even over our little faith. So when I think of little faith, I think about an anxious faith. And that's what little faith does. It leaves us anxious, distressed, troubled, and worried. Here's the second thing I see that little faith does. It leaves you fearful. It leaves you fearful. Well, we just saw that in the story we just read. Verse 25, the disciples went and woke him up shouting. The Bible says shouting. It wasn't like, hey, Lord, sorry to bother you. Could you get up for just a minute? It's a little wet over here. And this wind is doing nothing for my hair. Could you just kind of come here for a minute and do something about this issue? No, the Bible says they were shouting. Well, you would be too if you were afraid for your life, right? They were shouting, Lord, save us. They weren't saying, Lord, increase our faith. They were saying, Lord, I believe. No, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures, right? They were shouting it. They weren't shouting from the rooftops or the housetop. They were shouting from the bowels of the boat, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. You know, sometimes it doesn't matter how good of a swimmer you are when the waves are over your head and the waters are rough. You can't survive very long in a situation like that, can you? But what did Jesus do? He got up, he responded to their faith. And he says, why are you afraid? You have so, I like the way the New Living Translation said that you have so little faith. Oh, you a little faith. Why are you afraid? You know, I'll be honest with you, fear sometimes is probably the greatest detriment to a believer's life. The fear of the unknown, the fear of supply, the fear of tomorrow, the fear of health, the fear of finances, just the fear of a church growing and a building. And, you know, those are sometimes are some of the greatest detriments to our walk with God when we're afraid. You know, fear sometimes is natural. There are things that we're probably all afraid of. You know, everybody probably has their phobics a little bit. You know, whether it's of a creature, an animal, or something like that, or if it's of the dark or whatever. But, you know, the Bible says we don't have to be afraid. Fear not, Jesus said. 365 times they say that. He said, fear not, for I am with you. God is with us, friends, even when we have little faith. But little faith seems to come to the forefront when we are fearful. Our faith gets overwhelmed by the calamities of life that are surrounding us. And that's what happened to the disciples. You know what little faith they had on the mountaintop when they heard the great, wonderful sermon. Not only that, but in the valley and on the plains and in the homes where they saw the people healed and all the things. You know, sometimes we're quick to forget the wonderful things that God has done for us. Amen. When we're going through another storm. We it doesn't take us long to soon put in the back of our mind the blessings that God's done for us. Come on, I'm guilty. Oh, ye a little faith. Why are you afraid? Jesus didn't even ask them, why are you afraid? He says, don't be afraid, right? Don't be afraid. And he did ask them the question, why are you afraid too? Why are you afraid? You have so little faith. So little faith leaves you anxious. If you just have little faith, it leaves you in fear. Little faith also does what? If I can get my clicker going. Go. Watch it. The battery will probably go out of it. Come on. Could you push that arrow over? See if maybe it got froze up. Yeah. The right arrow on the bottom there. Push it. Is it froze?
They're on a different
page. Yeah, just, huh? Uh-oh. Hang on, guys. Just give me a second. Oh, it did. What did it? Oh. It kicked me off the Wi-Fi, too, didn't it? I'm sorry. No, you're good. Thank you. I don't know if that would have messed with it or not, but here we go. Huh? There it is. There we go. Little faith number three. Sorry about that, y'all. Little faith leaves you doubting. The devil's trying to stop our little faith this morning, isn't he? Sorry, technical difficulties. We're back on now. Here we go. Little faith not only leaves you anxious and fearful, but little faith leaves you doubting. And that kind of brings us back to another stormy situation in Matthew 14. Remember when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, and all the disciples that were in the boat, and what did Peter call out to him? Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. And what did Jesus say? Yes, come, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, what does the Bible say? He was terrified, and he began to sink. Save me, Lord. That sounds like something else he just spoke a while ago in the boat. Save me. Lord, he shouted, and he wasn't being quiet again about it. Lord, could you just like reach out your hand for a minute and help me out of it? You got a floating device? He shouted, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately, I like that word, immediately reached out and grabbed him. He says, you have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? believe that God is God? Do you really believe that God can do what he said? I mean, come on, I know we criticize Peter a lot of times, but how many of us, we got out of the side of the boat and walked to Jesus in the midst of a storm? Here we go again, it's easy. You know, we say, well, if we can walk on the water, you know, if it was smooth, I'd try it then, you know, at least if I fall in, you know, I can swim, I can grab a hold of the boat. You know, maybe we even know where all the rocks are at. There was a joke one time that talked about three preachers in a boat. And one of them said, I need to go back to the shore. I left something there, so he got him, he walked on the water. Others just like, man, this is awesome. Second guy says, you know what, I think I'm going to get out and try this myself. And he says, I need to go back to shore and get something to eat. So he got out of the boat, walked on the water. Third guy's thinking, man, if they can do it, I can do it too. Guy got out of the boat, and the two preachers on the shore said, I wonder if we should have told him where the rocks were at. You know what? It'd be nice to know. Wouldn't it be nice to know sometimes where to put our feet? Wouldn't it be nice to know where to walk, how to walk? Hey, man, where to sit? You know, God doesn't show us where all the rocks are at, does he? He tells us what? Just walk by faith, not by sight. There you go again. You're not looking at what's below you or what's around you. And that was Peter's downfall, because Peter began to what? He began to look at what was below him and what was around him instead of walking by faith, not by sight. And so he began to doubt, and because of his doubt, he began to see. You know, he had a little faith. Come on, didn't he? He had a little faith. Nobody else got out of the boat. But he had enough faith to get out of the boat. But he didn't have enough faith to get to Jesus without sinking. You see, friends, little faith sometimes will bring you to a place of doubting. And maybe I can say that doubting sometimes goes along with little faith, just like fear does. Just like, you know, when we're walking with the Lord, sometimes our anxiousness, it tags along with our faith, because we don't have strong enough faith to believe for anything too big. You know, God, if you'll just keep it right here, you know, I'll be good. But if you increase the situation, I'm not going to be able to walk this out and live it. Come on, sometimes we as church people, we doubt. We doubt what God can do when it begins to be overwhelming to us. And here's one more today. Little faith not only leaves anxious, fearful, and doubting. I don't know why I didn't get that up there, but it leaves us confused. Confused should be the number, fourth one up there, confused. Matthew 16. The Bible says later, after they crossed to the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered they had forgotten to bring any bread. Watch out, Jesus warned them. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. At this, the disciples began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. And Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, you have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Come on, he said 5,000 and 4,000. Why should they be worried about bread, right? Don't you understand even yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with 5 loaves and the baskets of leftovers you picked up? Or the 4,000 I fed with 7 loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up? Why can't you understand that I'm not talking about bread? So again, I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. But then at last, oh yes, they understood that he wasn't speaking to them about the yeast and bread, but about the deceptive teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see, Jesus was trying to get them to depend upon him for all things. You know, not just in the physical sense, but in the spiritual teachings as well. And, you know, even at that, the disciples sometimes were so soon to forget of all the things that God had previously done, like we said a while ago. But they were here, they were getting confused on what the Lord was trying to teach them, understanding his word. And they were thinking about natural bread this time, and he's talking about the spiritual things that the Pharisees and the Sadducees are trying to teach you about my laws and about my word and my will. He says, don't let those things corrupt you. Don't let those things get down into your spirit. You know, friends, little faith sometimes will open you up or leave you partly open to be deceived by things the enemy would try to put into your life. You know, the enemy comes to seek, kill, and destroy. And he comes to deceive people, and he's good at what he does. And he comes, the Bible says, as an angel of light. So sometimes, you know, we don't recognize him at first if we just have little faith. I'm not saying that you don't believe God or trust God, but, you know, there are those moments when, if your faith's not strong, when the enemy comes in like a flood, you're having a hard time seeking the Lord about, God, I need help in this situation. I need your spirit to put up a standard against him for me. And you become confused and you misunderstand what God is trying to accomplish in your life. I'll be honest with you, I've misunderstood times in my walk through the years about what God was really trying to do in my life. And I've made hasty decisions. I've made wrong calculations and wrong maneuvers. And I feel like there were times that I missed on what God was doing because my faith wasn't big enough to respond to that situation. Friends, we need faith to understand what is the will of God for our lives. What is it that God's trying to do? How is he trying to lead us? You see, friends, I believe that little faith sees the storm as bigger than your God. Little faith sees the storm as bigger than your God. And I've said this before. You know, let's quit looking at the things in our life as bigger than God, because our God is a big God. Let's put God in perspective. He's bigger than the storms that we face. Little faith sees the lack as greater than the supplier. Come on, hit Jose today. Little faith sees the lack as greater than the supplier. Why worry about those things that you don't have, the food, the clothing? Why worry about those things when our God is a big God and he clothes the grass of the field and the flowers and he feeds the birds in the air? Friends, why should we worry? Because aren't we precious to him? Does God not care about us? He's a big, big God, and he's what? He's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. And he can do anything he wants to, and he has everything that we have need of. You know, I know now, today that we're living in, people are afraid that we're going to go into another economical collapse. And I'm not saying that the economy won't collapse or things might not happen. I know people are saying the dollar is just going to fall apart. And right now the best thing to do is to invest in gold and silver, because those are precious treasures that God created that will never pass away. And their value is going to increase greater than ever before. But you know, if we're looking at the economy and we're looking at what's happening in our world, and you know, other nations are trying to form their own value system to do away and to cause the American system to collapse. Well, friends, if it does collapse, guess what? God is still God. Amen. He's still our supplier. And he has everything we need of. Friends, yes, he can bring water from a rock. He can bring manna from heaven. Friends, he can multiply a few loaves and a few small fishes if he needs to. He can, because he's our supplier. But our faith must be big to believe, bigger than little faith even. But sometimes little faith, we only see the lack. And we don't see the supplier. You see, little faith sometimes sees the lesson above the teacher. How many times in these verses of scripture was the Lord trying to teach them a lesson? Not because he was hateful, but he was trying to grow their faith. But the lesson was too hard for them. And come on, you ever sat in a classroom and, you know, the teacher, y'all be honest with me, when I took geometry, this is nothing against the teacher, but the teacher and me, we weren't on the same wavelength or brain length. I couldn't understand anything she was saying, and I love math. Trigonometry, I aced it the next year. But there was something about geometry, the way that this teacher explained it, I couldn't grasp it. It's almost like the lesson was bigger than the teacher. And that wasn't true, but for this little old mind, it was. I mean, you teachers would know that, you know, you have to bring that down to a level that they can understand. You know, in a way that they can apply. And it's almost like the disciples thought, you know, this lesson is bigger than Jesus. I don't even know if he can do anything about it. But friends, God can do anything if we let him. Adam Clark supposed said this in his commentary, that the storm could have been even excited by Satan, the prince of the power of the air, who, having got the author of life and all the preachers of the gospel, the disciples together in a small vessel, thought about drowning them to defeat the purposes of God and to prevent the salvation of a ruined world. This would have been a noble opportunity for him, right? To end the human race and their salvation by drowning the Savior and his disciples. But Jesus wasn't worried, was he? He might have been asleep, but he was fully conscientious of what was going on around him. And he responded again in verse 26. Why are you afraid? You have so little faith. And he got up and he did what? He rebuked the wind and the waves. And suddenly there was a great calm. I think the teacher gave a greater lesson that day, didn't he? He said, not only do I have power over the souls of man. You see, the Pharisees and scribes had a Sadducees had a hard time when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. He said, well, who are you to forgive sins? You're not God. He says, well, to prove to you that I can forgive sins, I'm going to heal this person. Not that he had to prove anything to anybody, but what was that? That was a testimony that the teacher had the power to do that. You see, maybe this was one of those moments to the disciples, is that, you know, to show them that, you know, he was greater than the storm, and that he can also increase their faith. He stopped the storm. He rebuked it. You see, the disciples asked this question in verse 27. They were amazed. Who is this man? They asked. Who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? The King James says, what manner of man is this? The New King James Version says, who can this be? We've never seen anyone like this who can speak to the wind and the waves and cause the storm to stop. Can I tell you, friends, Jesus still speaks to our circumstances. He just needs you to have some faith. Can I just say this in closing? A little faith plus a big God equals huge results. Let me also say, I thank God for your little faith. Because your little faith, when it's added to our great big God, it can do the impossible. But just think if we had more faith, friends. Just think if we had greater faith. We had, is there such a thing as perfect faith for us? One day maybe, in heaven. But a little faith today. Come on, friends. Don't let anxious thoughts get in your way. Don't let fear rule you out. Don't let doubt come into your path. Don't be confused with what God's doing in your life. Just trust God with how much faith you have today. Because your little faith with our great big God is going to do some big things, huge things. Let's pray together today. Father, thank you. Lord, we just thank you today that, Lord, you are God. You are good. You are faithful. Lord, you're in control. And maybe somebody today is struggling with their faith, Lord. Maybe they have faith, some faith, a little faith. But Lord, they feel defeated. They feel confused. They doubt. They're fearful. They're anxious. Today, I just pray, Lord, that you would grow their faith, Lord. Even greater than a little faith, Lord. So that, Father, their faith with you, Lord, will see the results that they need in our lives. Lord, encourage somebody today that's watching. Somebody here in this place today, Lord, that just needs to be encouraged in their faith to believe that God, you can. You can do anything, Lord, because you're God. And I just need to believe in you, Lord, with what little faith I even have. Lord, I just need to trust you, walk with you, not be afraid, not be discouraged, or not live in fear or doubt, not be anxious about anything. No, Lord, I just need to pray about it and trust you, Lord. Lord, just give us understanding of what you're doing, Lord, what you can do in our lives, what you want to do in our church, Lord. God, whatever needs there are today, Lord, people that are feeling good, people that are sick, people that are hurting, increase their faith, Lord, to believe that all things are possible to those that believe. We just praise you. We just praise you. Come on, Jose, lead us in us. Worship for us this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. guys. Thanks for watching us today. Lord bless you. We miss you. Hope you're having a good day. Be safe out there. Just keep trusting God, okay? Just have a little faith. Because a little faith tagged in with a great big God equals huge results. We love you, friends. Lord bless you. We'll talk to you later. See you.